Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
It's your host team of the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, coming to you with midterm rental stories. And Katie, I have an update. Can you guess what it might be?
I can guess, but I'm going to let you share the news.
We added a new property to our portfolio. Woo! One popped up in downtown Belton, so it will be a short-term, midterm rental combo, and it had two units on one lot. So it's a three-bedroom, two-bath home and an ADU that's around 300 square feet. And it's already divided into two separate yards with a nice, like, 6-foot fence. So we're excited to see the potential. And that is 8 doors now, with the 7 that we own and 1 that we co-host on. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. So how's your portfolio doing?
Ours is doing great. We are consistently full. And I just keep thinking, with it being full, I'm like, oh, we should just get more and more and more. But I'm like, nope, we're going to slow down for a minute. We're in the phase where we're going to get all of our systems set up and try to see what we can automate and, getting everything like as solid as you can, because as you get bigger, those things get more important. So, but I love it. I love the fact that we get to not only talk about midterm rentals, but we also get to live the midterm rental landlord life. So does Susan, who we talk about today. And Susan also does what you were talking about with this new property, which is the short-term midterm rental hybrid. this has been coming up in conversations so much lately, where you're taking a property and just to kind of maximize its potential and also minimize the headache, you're kind of balancing the act of the short-term and the midterm. And it makes it so, so great. And brings in that low maintenance vibe with the midterm. So excited to talk to her. She's got a lot of units as well. And she has shifted almost all of hers to midterm. So it's a great conversation.
Susan Keynuts is a midterm rental investor in Long Beach, California. She has 9 rentals total, including an 8-plex that her family has owned for 25 years or more. She has converted 6 of these units to midterm rentals and will educate us on her journey today. Susan, thanks so much for being with us. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be on the Landlord Diaries. So when we ventured into this great vast world of something different than long-term rentals, you guys were one of the first podcasts I found, and I binge listened to everything.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
It's true. And I found so much wisdom. The guests that you would have, I have a whole notebook full of notes that I would take. And you guys were the ones that gave me the courage to say, sure, let's do this. And it happened during COVID. We had 2 girls in college, my mom living with us, and our business basically shut down. So it was a really scary time, and we needed to do something. So this is what we tried with one unit that was vacant and have never looked back.
Yay! I'm excited to get into it. So in regards to the Landlord Diary, since you binge watched it, we love that. do you have any favorite episodes or any really big takeaways that you implemented into your strategy?
You know, Jesse Vasquez, who you've had on a couple of times, I believe, was great. Just explaining what a midterm rental was. I had never heard of that. Of course, I had heard of short-term rentals, and that just made so much more sense to us. We have multiple hospitals in our area. We have a university. We have huge technology here, aerospace. So, the environment was ripe for it. So that was probably one of my favorite episodes, but also the ones about how to set it up. And I love hearing you two talk about how to source items, you know, for it. I have become a Facebook marketplace stalker. And a little bit addictive, I think.
It is addicting.
So, oh my goodness. I have to turn it off. And my husband just shakes his head like, where am I going now?
Well, I'm going to take that moment because you said what really helped you was for someone to explain what midterm rentals are. So now it's your turn. Why don't you explain to everybody what a midterm rental is?
Absolutely. So this is what my definition is for us. A midterm rental is any rental for over 31 days. And that's our regulation here in the city of Long Beach. So what we do is we furnish our apartments completely. That means all furniture, all linens. We overstock the kitchen with anything that they could need. And because we're near the beach, we provide all the beach toys and things like that. And then we list this unit on Furnished Finders, and we try and find usually 60 days is our average rental, but we've had as much as 6 months and sometimes longer. We do, you know, a lot of people hear midterm rentals and think of traveling nurses. And we've had a few medical professionals, but what we've had a lot of is people remodeling their house or damage to their apartment or their house where they're staying. We've had older couples who come to the area to visit kids and will stay 1 or 2 months to visit this set of kids before they head off to somewhere else. Just a wide variety. Interns during the summer, Boeing and Rocket Labs and a few other companies will offer housing allowances. So they find us. Just a big variety. And I have to tell you that the quality of people that we've gotten are just fabulous. We love our guests. We get to know them. We're at the property quite often. And no complaints. In fact, it's actually very exciting.
Katie, I don't think we even need to be here today. I think that's
for real.
Got this all on her own. We can sit back and have a cup of cappuccino and listen to Susan all day long.
I mean, sounds good to me.
I don't know if our listeners would like that. So I'll let you go ahead with what your first question.
Yeah, Susan, it's my favorite go-to question. Tell us about your portfolio and how you grew it to what you have it at today.
Absolutely. So as Kelly mentioned, we've had this 8-unit apartment building in our family with my in-laws for over 25 years. It has always been long-term rentals. It's 2 blocks from the beach in Long Beach, in an area called Belmont Shore. And like I said, during COVID, my husband and I just decided to take a risk and do something else. And it's funny because my father-in-law is quite a bit older now and has stepped away a little bit, but still involved. But we kind of did this on our own secretly. And because we figured, you know, if this doesn't work, we'll flip it back to a long-term rental, no harm, no foul. And of course, it took off. And so then we told him what we were doing. And he goes, you know, I've always thought about doing that, but I've always been too scared to try. So that's how that grew. So now we have, it's an 8-unit building. We still have one long-term renter who just loves the area, loves us. And we're like, no, we really need you to move. But we do operate one of the 2 bedrooms as a short-term rental, which is what is allowed per Long Beach, 1 per parcel. And then we have 6 midterm rentals. So it will be 3 1-bedrooms and 3 2-bedrooms. Then we have a single family home that my husband and I, when we sold our first house, about, 15, 16 years ago, we had enough equity in it that we purchased another house in the same neighborhood and turned it into a rental, again, a long-term rental. And then it's called the Naughty Whale in Long Beach. It's this great little 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, 2 living rooms, and it's got such a great fenced backyard. So we had an inquiry from Furnished Finders that it was an insurance claim, and the guests found us. And this is what a small world it was. This gal was actually my daughter's speech pathologist in elementary school. So we connected.
Oh, how fun is that?
It's you know, I'm so convinced everywhere I go, it's such a small world out there. And that's why I love helping people. So they had someone crash through their garage and kitchen, and they were having problems, and their insurance placement company was having problems because they had a very large lab that liked to jump. And I said, you know, I think our house would really work for you. Let's go take a look at it. Well, they are still in there. I think March 31st is their last date, and that will be 6 months. So we have those 2 properties. Altogether, they're probably worth between 4 and 5 million. Now, take that into the caveat. We are in Southern California.
But these were in your family, right? So you
the house, kinda... my husband and my ours, and then the apartment building was in the family. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And I think forward thinking, what an amazing gift that anyone thinking of now could potentially give to their next generation, right?
Absolutely. So our girls who are now flown and grown and done with college, in fact, one's getting married next month. Whew.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We could do a whole podcast on that.
Sure. Right? But, not our expertise, for sure.
Take your time. Trust me.
Yeah.
But they've been very involved in when they were long-term rentals, short-term rentals. So my husband and I, in fact, you guys have been our inspiration as well. We are thinking of possibly pulling some equity out and maybe going out of state because.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, we've been very hands-on. We're used to being at the property. And so for us to invest in something that we can't drive to within 15 minutes is a little scary for us, but everybody tells us you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
You know, I wonder what percent of midterm rental landlords are local versus long distance. I mean, I think it would be fair to say that the majority, probably the vast majority, are local, but I do think there's a good chunk that are long distance because, just like you said, right, the difference in affordability from one place to another. And then especially when you mix in, you know, higher interest rates and purchase prices are still high, sometimes you have to get creative. And I can tell you from experience, it's not insane, right? It's totally doable. You just need to have your systems in place, right? And you just need to be able to have someone who you can say, hey, can you go check this out for me? And that someone can be a cleaner or a handyman, or for one of our properties, you know, we have a cleaner, obviously, but that person who were like, you know, when we were furnishing it, for example, we needed a new bed frame. The bed frame that arrived got damaged. And by the time it was going to arrive, everybody was gone from my family that was furnishing it. It was my sister's friend from college who she happened to know in that city. And I'm like, hey, I'll give you $50 if you can go set up this bed frame. And she's like, yes, sweet. So it's like, you know, you can totally, it's a chance to get creative, right?
Yeah.
So Katie, any like quick, easy hanging fruit for, since you're most of your midterm rentals are in Iowa and you live in Denver area, what are some low hanging fruit items of how to get started in out of state investing?
Ooh, I mean, I think you have to have your people, right? If you're going to buy, you have to have an amazing agent who is willing to be very upfront with you. And there are things that legally they're allowed to say or they're not allowed to say. Like if you ask a realtor, a professional realtor, like, hey, is this area safe? That's an opinion. And they're not always allowed to divulge their opinion like that. But you can ask different questions like, you know, would you invest here or things like that to get different insights. That's really, really helpful. I think it's also really important to have someone who can just kind of give you a vibe check of the area. Really important to have a great handyman and a good cleaner. Like, it's really just important that you have those people on speed dial that you can call. But otherwise, like, it's really not crazy, especially with midterm. Midterm makes it so great because, you know, I've got on average 3 or 4 turnovers a year in each of these units. So it's not like I've got people coming and going all the time that are different. Like, they're in there and they're settled and they're professional. So I do love
that.
Yeah,
that's doable.
Doing a short-term rental long distance is much scarier to me personally. Yeah.
So can I ask, the realtor that you use, is it someone that you use locally where you are or in the area that you want to invest?
Nope, it's someone who I use in the area.
Okay.
That I invest, and it's someone who specifically works with investors, right?
Okay.
Because this is different than if you're trying to look for your own home. There are people that are going to know more about rental rates and occupancy and what are the renters in this area and things like that. And a lot of times, even to these realtors, the idea of a midterm rental is new. They might be used to more like, oh, well, this is, you know, right by the university. It might be a good spot for short term, or this is where families live. It might be good for long term. But they're savvy, so when you explain midterms to them, if they're not familiar, at least from my experience, they catch on very, very quickly. But just having a realtor that understands kind of the investor and the numbers and, you know, because your insurance is going to be different, things like that, it really is a game changer, and you can rely on them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, ladies, we are on to our last two sections of the podcast, which we've still got plenty time left, so don't worry about that. We're going to talk about Furnish Finder and KeyCheck, and then we're going to circle back with Susan and talk about how she converted those units in her eightplex from long-term rentals to midterm rentals. So Susan, what percent of your bookings would you say come from Furnish Finder, and how are your midterm rentals doing?
I would say about half come from Furnished Finder. I do have them listed on the other OTAs, Airbnb, VRBO, and those are my other two. I also have them listed with the insurance companies. But interestingly, most of my insurance leads come directly through Furnished Finder, and they will put an inquiry in. So I think the key to Furnished Finders is don't wait for the direct messages. What I do is I go and look at all those general inquiries for my area, and I set up my templates and I'll respond to them and say, hey, I think I've got a 2-bedroom that might work for you and your husband, and give them a little bit of detail about it, give them the link. And then I probably get a response, I would say at least 60 to 70% of that time, either great, but it's out of my budget, or it's a little further than I wanted, or yes, give me more information.
Mm-hmm. One thing I love that you do is you watch for things that you already have at your home that you can pick out of your description to point out in that message that you're sending to your tenant leads. And you also watch for opportunities of things that you're seeing frequently and how you might be able to provide those for future tenants to, you know, solve that need and also increase your potential for a booking. And one of those is EV charging. So tell us how you discovered that and implemented it at your property.
So because this is an older building, adding anything electrical is a little challenging. And we had to add a whole new panel to the building in order to do this. But we had a guest inquire, hey, do you have an EV charger? And they weren't coming for another month. And I said, sure, yes, we do. And I called my husband and said, you got to go.
You got 30 days. Make it happen.
Exactly. So luckily here we have a great network of handymen, electricians, contractors, painters, everything. So it really was not hard. It was super simple. And the trick was on ours, because parking is not secure, we needed to make sure that this was secure. So we put a kind of a box around it with a lock, and only our guests will get the code to get into it.
Right, because other people could access that area. Okay. And is it a normal electrical outlet, or is this a special type of outlet you need for EV charging?
You know, it is a whole process. It's, I believe it's a 220 amp. We put in one that Tesla's the big one, but there are converters. So we made sure that the converters would work on any of the EV chargers. And I'll tell you, we get a lot of guests flying in. And even when I flew into Nashville recently, they gave me a hybrid car. And I don't own an EV car out here. And it took me a minute to get used to it, but I liked it. And I think more and more rental companies are providing that now. So the need is definitely there. And I don't know that that has fully increased our bookings, but it is something that's just showing we're trying to stay modern. We're trying to, you know, we provide the fastest Wi-Fi. We get a lot of working nomads. So, you know, it's just one more thing going along with that.
And it's an investment, right? We actually just put one in our house because we got an EV. So you know, they've got to run. It's like we had to add on to our box, and you've got to have a real electrician, not someone who plays with wires, but you need a real electrician. And it costs some money, especially depending on if you have space in your box or how far. But bottom line is, it's going to add equity to your house, and it shows those travelers. And I think of it similar along the lines of someone who's looking for an accessible rental. If you're coming with that type of vehicle, you need that. So that's your first thing you need. So it might not be the determining factor in a lot of bookings now, but I would bet some good money that might change in a couple of years, right? So I think that's great. And you're right. It does show that you're dedicated, and hopefully you're bragging about that on your furnished finder listings.
I need to. It's been a whirlwind since we put it in about a month ago. And, you know, you girls have families and things too. So yes, I do need to brag about that. Yeah. And we're going to be adding one to our single family home as well.
Love it. Yeah, that's a great reminder for everybody. Remember, your furnished finder listing is like your very own little website, right? So take the time to not only get really great photos, but anything that sets you apart, brag about it from the high hills, right? This is your chance. This is your time on stage. Show what you want to show off and really, really use that listing. I see a lot of listings that have so much potential, and I'm like, brag about that thing or that thing. So take the time and jump in there. And it you know, that really does catch the eye of travelers.
And to get a little bit more specific there,
What I really love about the Furnish Finder headline and the description is you have so many characters available where Airbnb, I have to sum it up and like, I don't remember how many it is, but I always have a tough time saying, oh no, what do I need to cut off? So it's like EV charging or EV would be an easy thing to add as just one of those things that stands out on your amenities, on your headline. If your place has space for an RV, there's another easy one because a lot of travel nurses like to tour the country or families that have RVs and they need to know which properties have RV spacing. Good thought. We need that as an amenity, like an option on amenities to check. And then the description, Susan, you do something very unique and you say you love how simple it is, how easy it is to update your description, but also you put your house rules in your description. Tell me about that.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
So we don't have a lot of house rules. It's the basics, no parties, quiet hours are from 10 p.m. till I think I have 8 a.m., but what I have found is I don't have too many to where it comes overbearing to where people are like, oh, she's going to be one of those hosts who's like hovering. It just kind of sets the tone. Like, this may not be for you if you're planning the big, bachelorette party where you're going to party all weekend. Now, I've had bachelorette parties and as long as they're respectful, I'm good with that. So that helps. I think the other thing that has set me apart is I try and do my opening pictures, not necessarily of the inside of my property. I try and do more of a lifestyle picture. So for our units down by the beach, a lot of times I will have, and a lot of these are former guests, guests with their dog on the beach or their family on the beach. Or I've got a great one of some guests with their cat on, and the cat is sprawled out in one of my chairs looking out the window at a palm tree. So I think that also sets us apart. People can then imagine themselves there, and anything that just stands out a little different it catches people's eye. They'll at least click on it and see if it's something that they would like.
For sure. And Susan, I want to hone in on something we said maybe about 5 minutes ago that I made a note. I said, definitely come back to that. You said you use the messaging templates on Furnish Finder. Tell us how you build those and what important aspects you put in those templates.
So where you can reply to one of the direct messages or general messages, there is a place down below and you can select a template. And if you don't have one built, it gives you the option to add it. And I have two for our, well, actually I have three, a one bedroom, a two bedroom, and the house. So what I will put in there is usually hi. And this is something I would love is if it would default the name from the message. But I usually type in the first name. So I say, hi, Kelly, I saw your inquiry and I think our one or two bedroom might be a great fit for you. And here's why. We're close to this. We are two blocks from the beach. We love fur babies. So your dog is welcome. And here's the listing. We also have several others, so be sure and scroll through all of my Furnish Finder listings. And then I can put my name, Susan and Ted Keenans, our phone number, our, you know, the name of our company, Shore Stay Hideaways, and send it off. So sometimes I have it built so it's pretty generic, depending on how interested I am on the general inquiries or general messages. I will get a little more specific and tell them why it would be such a great listing specifically for them. But a lot of times I'm just sending the general message.
Awesome.
What I have also done is we get a lot of kids who are coming out, hey, we're doing the summer internship at this company. And I told one kid, they must have released all of them at the same time, because I saw maybe 10 of the general messages show up within an hour. And so I created a template that said, hey, we've got this great 2-bedroom that if you split it with someone, it would be well within your price range. In fact, one room has 2 full bed bunk beds that might work for 3 people. You should contact the HR department and, you know, find out the other people coming to the area, and maybe you can connect with them.
And did that result in bookings? Because I think a lot of your attempts to reach out to tenant leads actually result in bookings. Was that one of them, or which ones that, have you found are successful? That was one of them?
One of them last year. It was one girl coming from Ohio State, and the other one also came from back there, but they didn't know each other, but they contacted the HR department for the internships and got a list and kind of created a chat, much like colleges do, and then said, hey, we're going to, you know, room together. And they actually booked it themselves and then took the stipend, because by going together, they saved money. And yeah. And then that way they each paid, you know, their portion and pocketed the rest, and it gave them money to play or to save or do whatever they wanted.
Now, this is an important thing to call out too, because a lot of times with midterm rentals, it's you're not going to find a perfect fit as a traveler, right? And you have a lot of flexibility. So for a landlord, that means that you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to wait for the perfect match to come in, but you want to start communicating and reaching out to these travelers and being like, hey, I see that you're looking for this. Excuse me. I have this, you know, do you think that would work? Because there's a lot of opportunity there, right? There's not as much turnover as with short-term rentals. So there might not be as much availability. So it's your chance to work with them. Just because you see a lead come in and you say, oh, they want a 2-bedroom and mine is a 3-bedroom, or yeah, they want a 3-bedroom and mine is a 1-bedroom, whatever, it doesn't mean it's off the table. I always view it as that is their wish list. And I don't know how flexible they are, right? But I'll always message them. But you need to be specific in your message. You know, and like you said, those message templates are a great way to do that. But say, what exactly you have, why it's a good choice, how they could make it work, or exactly where it varies from what they're looking for. So I think that's great, and it's really, really important, because especially on Furnish Finder, you're not waiting for these bookings to just pop up in your email box, right? Like, we're giving you the leads and we're giving you these potential connections, but you as a landlord and the tenants, like, you've got to work to see if it's a fit and to make it happen.
Exactly. And I always take the budget that they put in as their wish list as well. And especially here in Southern California, prices are a lot higher than in the Midwest. So I think many times they're just assuming they can get a 1-bedroom for $1,200. And I'm realizing and having discussions with them that no, you are not going to find anything. And if you do, it may be a shared home, or you may not want to live there. So it's really, it's also the opportunity to help educate the guests and the people who are looking and try and just solve their problems.
Yeah, for sure. So you're saying something that's teaching me a lesson right now, because what I do is I take ownership. I like in potential room rental situations, because I'm willing to rent mine out as entire units or room rentals to make sure that I'm available and competing in the market. And that's a way that you can stand out potentially or see how to answer these tenant leads. And one thing that you said that I don't do is in the room rental situation, I put it on myself. I say, hey, I'm going to save your contact information. If I find someone else that I think would be a good fit for you, I'll circle back and I'll let you know. But it normally takes weeks or a month for me to see a tenant lead that would match that potential room rental, because mine aren't in the heart of Austin. Mine are outskirts of Austin. So with the fact that you said, hey, you should reach out to your HR director and see who they might recommend you room with, that's brilliant. And I'm going to have to start doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually been really successful. And the kids, you know, I just remind them, didn't you do that when you started going to college? Most of them are in their senior year and they're like, oh yeah. You know, so some of them get it. Some of them, you have to remind them a little bit. They're so caught up in, ooh, this is my first big job internship. Hope it turns into a real job.
But it's all about hospitality and it's all about trying to make that work and solve that problem, right?
Exactly.
Like that's really what we're doing as landlords. We're trying to solve that problem and give them a great place to call home, because they are, you know, they are professionals and they're there to get the job done and to have that, if they're an intern, like, you know, that first big job or whatnot. So I think that's huge. And I think all too often, landlords forget to be a little bit creative and a little bit innovative. And, you know, how can I solve this problem? How can I help these people find a great place to stay?
Mm-hmm. Well, good. We're here to the next part that we gave you a heads up about, because one of the problems to solve that a lot of you ask is how do you convert a long-term rental to a midterm rental? So let's dive into that, since Susan has an eightplex that she enjoyed converting in stages from long-term rentals to midterm rentals, and now has six of the eight operating as midterm rentals and can't wait for the other two to come available to do the same thing. So what did you love about the converting in stages portion, Susan?
The flexibility on cash flow was the number one thing. So we have always been very hands-on and take care of our property. So we tended to have tenants who would stay for quite a while, many years. So as they became vacant, we would turn them into midterm rentals and we would furnish them. A lot of times over the past probably 10 years, as they had become vacant, we completely redid the bathrooms and the kitchens and remodeled, brought all the plumbing up to par, brought all everything, you know, was redone, the floors. So really at this stage, when they become vacant, it's a matter of cleaning, maybe doing some minor tweaks here and there, but really it's furnishing it. So one thing that we're going back and doing now is anything that has a queen bed, I am switching out to a king. And that's hard to do on some of these beach apartments because the rooms are small. So I've discovered floating shelves next to the bed and lights up on the wall. But I had a guest tell me, because two of them had kings, and she goes, I want to come back, but your king's not available. And I said, tell me what it is about a king. It's you and your husband. She goes, we have a dog. The dog sleeps with us. Or when our grandkids come to visit, they end up in the bed. And I'm like, okay. So it's not just about people wanting more space. It's other people, you know, we all remember when our kids came and hop in our bed. I'm sure you guys are probably still there a little bit. So we are switching all of those out. And it's been gradual, but we've done it all within the last Well, when was COVID? 2020, 2024. So 3.5 years.
Okay. If you're intrigued by the king bed conversation, don't go forget to go back and listen to episode. It's around 77 or 78 with Jake. His company name is King Beds Only because he hasn't found a space that won't fit a king bed. So I just think that that's brilliant. And Susan, looks like you're implementing a similar strategy there. Very cool.
Hey, and did you guys know King Beds is actually a filter on the Furnish Finder amenities? When you're searching on the map and you choose additional filters, King Beds is one of those.
So in as far as furnishing the homes, what did you start with and how did that change as you started to learn what works, what doesn't, what breaks easily, what doesn't, that kind of process?
So our very first one, what we did was we went to, you know, the big box store and basically got everything brand new, but cheap. And got it all in, and we listed it and literally had our first inquiry and move in within 24 hours, believe it or not. And were we prepared for that? No. In fact, I was so green that I had the date wrong, and they showed up. He called me, and I'm looking at the date going, oh, this must be for tomorrow. Little did I know he was on a plane from across country coming out here. I couldn't get a hold of him to verify it. So I'm like, it's okay, it's tomorrow. I get the call at basically midnight that said, I can't get in the door. And I'm like, ah! So, you know, because there were just, we had staged the beds for photos and had planned on going over the next morning to actually put the sheets on. So we had to do that. But yeah, we furnished them slowly. Now, the single family home, we had great guys in there, three guys who had been in there 4 years. And we actually gave them about a 3-month notice and said, this property has needed to be upgraded for a while and it's time. You know, the market was great as far as getting some money out to do it. And they were so sad. So sad to go, but we completely gutted the kitchen and the bathrooms, put in all new floors, you know, scraped every ceiling, did recessed lighting. So we made this more of an upgraded property. And it took us a little while. It took us 4 months, maybe, between some permitting, you know, there's always permitting and things like that, but it was well worth it.
Sorry. Is this one of the condos or is this one of the single family homes?
That is the single family home.
Okay.
Yeah. The condos, apartments are super easy to turn into it. I always keep my eye out for staging companies. A lot of real estate staging companies are out here, and sometimes they're getting rid of their inventory or they're buying all new inventory. Well, there's so many things that I can use and I'll go in and make them a deal. So we have a couple of storage units now full of random things, artwork, side tables, you know, coffee tables that we know that we'll be using. It's just a matter of time.
That's a nice way to spread out the cost too, especially when you know, okay, we're going to be furnishing more units. I found a good deal. Let's hold on to it if you have the space. So I think that's great. It's also a good way to get creative with finding those deals, right? And that's going to be market and area specific, but it just goes to show, you know, think outside of the box. I think there's a good and creative way to solve a lot of those challenges. So, all right, let's talk about, I've heard that you use one of your garages to store some of these items and that your cleaners can get in there. So how does that work and kind of how has that helped you out?
So at the apartment building, we have three garages. We have two of them that we've used for storage during this whole process. We used to rent them out. And what we have found is the guests don't necessarily want or need a garage. So we turned one into basically our storeroom. And we put in shelving. We put in all kinds of baskets labeled with which type of bed they fit. We try and keep our linens consistent through all the apartments for sure, so that all the queens have the same bedding, the same duvet covers, all of that. The kings, the same. And then the bunk beds, I use a little bit different bedding, but they're the same in every unit. So our cleaners then can just continually turn over our linens. We have at least a 3-piece supply for each bed in each unit. Because you never know when those turnovers are going to happen. And sometimes they all happen at once. But our cleaner has been fabulous. I had it organized and she went in and just made it phenomenal. So, and it works better for her. And we gave them a key to the garage. And so they go in, they can get into the unit. And then we have a washer and dryer on site. So they will do laundry while they're cleaning the unit. But occasionally they'll take it home and say, hey, I'm running late. Do you mind if I just take all the laundry with us this time? No, I don't mind. We have plenty. So that has been a lifesaver. There's not enough room in each of these units to store the backup supplies. In our single family home, we do have a large closet in the hallway, which has all the backup towels, the backup sheets, and things like that. That has a lock on it that only our cleaners can get. But in the garage, we bought one of those metal cabinets that closes with the lock on the door. And there we keep all the other supplies. We provide laundry detergent, you know, the shampoo, the conditioner, all that type of stuff.
Awesome. That's really great. And it sounds like you're giving a huge compliment to your cleaning team, but it wasn't easy to get to that spot. So that's one of the big challenges to overcome in the midterm rental space, and especially in the short-term rental space. What's nice is in the midterm rental space, you can always go spot check until you trust your cleaners, right? Because it's not happening that often. Each property is averaging 4 turnovers a year. So Dave and I typically go spot check our cleaners and make sure everything's good to go. And I just spot checked one this like within the last couple of days, and both beds had to be remade. The one had, they had made it with the stain and on the mattress or on the comforter that was right by where you sleep. And they had also put a frayed comforter on the other bed. And it wasn't just frayed in a small spot. It was same idea. It was frayed right there where you would grab and sleep with the comforter. So yeah, it's important that you're spot checking your cleaners and finding the right team. So you have done so. Tell us about the journey to get there, Susan.
When we first started, I went to some cleaners that I knew from the office building that I work at. I still have a W-2 job for now. And that was a mistake because they had told me that they did Airbnb type cleanings or, you know, midterm rental turnovers. They really didn't. They had cleaned houses, but as you know, this is completely different. And that lasted a few months. It would take 3 of them 4 hours just because they were unorganized. They didn't know what they were doing. So then I went through, I think it's called Turnover.
Yes, used to be Turnover B&B. Now it's just called Turno.
Turno, that's it. Yep. And found a great gal, and she became our go-to person, and she had a team under her, and they were fabulous for a while. And then after about a year, the quality just dropped. She lost some of her top cleaners, and then she was doing some of the turnovers. She was rushing, or her kids were there with her, so we'd find like chip residue on the couch because that's where her kid had been sitting, you know, again, spot checking. And I finally just had to get rid of her. And we happened to run into two gals, they were sisters, who used to work for her. And we had talked to them many times. And we're like, oh, are you still working for this person? And they said, oh, no, we had to leave, you know, about 3 months ago. We're doing it on our own. Really? You were our best cleaners. How would you like to come clean our units? And they were still using them. And if one sister can't do it, the other one can. And I don't know why, but maybe it's because of the way the end of the months fall, but sometimes we'll end up with three cleanings on the same day. So they tag team it and they're fabulous. But even then, I had, and this, you know, this is just what stabs you in the heart is when you get a message from your cleaner that says, hey, do you mind coming by and cleaning the dust off the fan blades and sends me a picture of it? And I'm like, ah.
So. Yeah, that's actually a great reminder that all these little things I include in my welcome notes that I forget to talk about on the show is to take a little bit of that pressure off. What I do is I put in the guest welcome guide of our clean is 100% guaranteed. And if you would not rate this property as 5 stars on the cleanliness, then please let us know within 24 hours and our team will come back out and, you know, finish out whatever it is that you notice. So now the ownership's still back on the guest where if they want someone to come back and touch it up, then that's available. And so anytime I choose a cleaning team, I always make sure that that's a part of their process because it is their service that they're guaranteeing. And so it's no additional charge to me for them to go back out. And I think I've only ever had it happen once that they asked them to come back out for, you know, I think it was the same thing, some dusting, a little bit of dusting.
I think it's important too that what you're saying is like, you know, you started with one team or one process and you're evolving. Like we're always doing that as landlords. We're evolving. We're always, you know, thinking, okay, like we tried this and here was the downfall or here's how it worked. And then let's try this next. And, you know, we're going to have backup cleaners and we're going to have people in layers. The other thing that's nice is, I don't know about you guys, but what I have found consistently is with my midterm tenants, there's so much more understanding.
Yes.
That even my last tenant that moved in, my cleaners wanted to go take some of the laundry off site to wash it faster at the laundromat versus doing ones. And my tenant was like, can I come in? And I was like, as long as you don't mind that there's no linens yet, sure. And she was like, that's totally fine. I'm a night nurse and I just want to get some sleep. So she's like, I brought a couple blankets. I'll pop one down. I always bring my own pillow. She put it down. And then when the cleaner had cleaned the linens, she tied them up, put them in a bag by the front door. And the tenant was over the moon to make her own bed because she got the chance to get in there and sleep. So it's just so different, like, than STRs with the commitment and the level of, like, you know, involvement. Like, they're professionals. So I think that is something that I've always experienced and really appreciated.
You're absolutely right.
Yep. I want to highlight a few things to wrap up the cleaner conversation. Susan says, like, some ways that you can hold on to your and solidify great cleaners and keep them as part of your team is let them set the price. And kind of give them that ownership, right? So her two sisters, if a home needs a deeper clean than normal or has extra pet hair, then they come back to Susan and say, hey, this one took a little bit extra work. Here's the price for this one. And Susan honors that because she trusts this team.
And going the other way on that, I just had one where the midterm person left it spotless. Literally, we just changed the linens. And I think that guest had probably washed them. And she said, Susan, they didn't even touch the second bedroom. And so this one's going to be like $50 less because I didn't have to spend much time in it. So it goes both ways.
Yep. And then lastly, don't forget to appreciate your teams. Give them praise. Tell them what they're doing well. Don't forget those Christmas bonuses or, you know, whenever you want to give bonuses throughout the year, it goes a long way. So thanks for an awesome conversation about cleaners and finding the right ones. We probably don't talk about it enough. And Katie, you want to wrap us up with a final question?
Okay. So Susan, I want to talk about a feature that probably, again, doesn't get enough discussion here, which is our unit feature on Furnish Finder. So you have an 8-plex. So you purchase your first listing and then you can add on units. And this works for properties that have, you know, if you're going to do a room rental, if you have a duplex, quad, you know, whatever up there, or something where like the master address is the same and you just have different unit numbers, right? Yep. So it's going to display on Furnish Finder, like, here's the whole pie. Which slice of the pie would you like? Can you tell us a little bit about how that has helped you and especially how having individual listings for each unit has been able to help you stay booked?
That is a phenomenal feature because what will happen is I will send them to the link to either one of the one bedrooms or one of the two bedrooms. But I tell them, look through the whole list because each of ours is just a little different. And they will come back to me and say, you know, I really like unit number two because it has the better backdrop for my Zoom meetings that I have to do every day or my trainings. Is that one available? So, or if it's booked, I can say, why don't you take a look at this one? That is a great feature. They see all of the units. It would also helps build the credibility because they see our quality is consistent through all of our units. They see reviews on all of our units. So they know that, you know, we just don't have some random unit that is not going to be real great.
Woo! You have heard it all on the Landlord Diaries. Susan, you brought the heat today. I think, like I said, I think Katie and I could have just sat back and drank a cappuccino on this one. And I've got a few tips to apply at my own properties now, too. So thanks so much for sharing your story. Don't forget, if you have a powerful story to share, we want to hear from you as well. So you can reach out through our customer service portals on Furnish Finder under the resource tab. There's a Landlord Diaries page. It's still best to, at this time, listen to the Landlord Diaries on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube as our most popular platforms. But you can get in there and say, hey, I want to be a guest on the show. And we'll get to know you just like Susan and I got to know each other not too long ago. So, Susan, if anyone wants to connect with you, we always put your Furnish Finder profile in the show notes.
Great.
Do you want them to connect in any other way?
You know what? That's great. I'm actually building my own direct booking website to tag along with Furnish Finder, and it'll be shorestayhideaways.com.
There we go. Lovely. Well, don't forget to tune in with us every week for a brand new episode of the Landlord Diaries. Like, comment, review. We appreciate it all. See you next week, everyone.
Thank you so much.